Okay, well, it's good to be back. Missed a week. I did tune in to you guys on the beach. Sat there on the beach listening to you guys sing and listening to Derek preach. And I really didn't miss y'all a lot that day. It wasn't until like a couple of days, because that was the first day, right? And I was glad to be getting a little break. But then as the week went on, I did. So as you know, in your bulletin is the card for serving. And so I thought that it would be appropriate to share some things in the scripture regarding serving, right? And it's a challenge to you, right? So this is the challenge of a challenge to mainly our people that are members of our church, but it's a challenge to others as well. Hold on one second. I have something in my... It's going to be hard to preach with that. All right, there we go. It's a challenge for some of you, maybe to take a step back and let some others serve, but it's a challenge for many others to step up and say, hey, I can do some of these things. All right? Now, if you're in here this morning and you're like, you know, I'm just visiting, or I've been coming here and I'm not yet a Christian, all right? I want to remind you that the reason that we serve is because our God first served us. Amen. And He served us by sending His Son Jesus Christ to this earth to live a perfect life, a life that we were unable to live, and to die on a cross in our place because of our sins. And then He rose again 3 days later. And He continues even to this day to serve us. And we believe on Him. And we serve because, you know, our Christ is risen. Amen. We serve a risen Savior, right? And so this is why we do. That's why anybody in this church would take away their time on a Sunday morning instead of going fishing, instead of hanging out, and come and spend time at church teaching children and other adults the scriptures. Why they would come up here during their free time and work in the flower beds, or fixing things around here, or practicing to do all of these different areas that people serve in. They do this because our God has served us first. So today, the title of the message is Qualities and Principles of Serving. And this is not worldly qualities and worldly principles. These are things that we get from the Scripture. So this would be just a little lesson for you. I usually preach what's called expositionally, which means I take a text as we're going through the book of Luke, and we just pull out what's in there and we give it to you. We expound on the verses there. This would be more topical. But there's a way to do topical and there's a way not to do it. The way not to do it is to have a topic in your mind and have an idea of what you want to say, and then try to find places in the Bible that support that very thing. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is say, okay, look, there's a topic that I would like to preach on. What exactly does the Bible say about that particular thing? Okay? And so this is what I've tried to do. I've tried to let the Bible inform me as to what it is to be a servant in the church and to serve Christ. So I'm hoping today that the words from the Scriptures will resonate with you as much as they have with me. We have a vision statement here at this church, and it goes like this, that we want to be a gospel-driven church devoted to God's Word, prayer, love, service, generosity, fellowship, and disciple-making to the ends of the earth. And in there, in those seven things we want to be devoted to, is one called service. And so this is an area of our church that we want to do well at. And many, let me commend you, many of you do well at serving. Now, what does it mean to be a servant? I'm going to have three qualities that are needed to serve, and I'm going to share with you six principles on serving. And these things are not meant to be a guilt trip, all right? All right, oh, we need some people. Look, we actually have quite a few people that serve a lot. And yeah, we have some areas of need. But that's not the purpose of this. It's to show you how you can be a part of serving God in this local church. To encourage you not to overcommit and also not to undercommit. So what does it mean to be a servant? It's hard to define the word without using the word serve. So I think the simplest definition we could use is to do something for the benefit of someone else, right? So to do something for the benefit of someone else would be what it means to serve. In the New Testament, there are a lot of verses that speak on what is meant by serving or being a servant. I'm going to list some of them for you. 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Galatians 5, 13, the second half of it says, but through love, serve one another. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many, our example. Galatians 6, 2, it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Mark 9, it says, He said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Romans 6 says, but now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves or servants of God. Matthew 25, 35, it says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And I could keep going on and on. Just defining what serving is. To be serving with love, to be using your gifts to serve with your life, to serve by bearing each other's burdens, by putting others ahead of you, by meeting the needs that people have. Serving with humility, serve by thinking that others are even more significant than yourself. Even to the point where you consider yourself a slave to others. Now, that's kind of what it means to be a servant. Now, let me share with you three qualities that it takes to be a servant. And then six biblical principles on serving. The three qualities or attributes that you need to be a good servant are faith, humility, and love. It's very difficult to do it and to do it well without those three things. And we are never more like Christ than when we're serving other people. Faith is important to believe that God sees what you're doing even when others don't. I don't think it's a bad thing not to want to serve in vain, right? Like nobody wants to serve for no reason. We don't want that. No one wants their serving to be for nothing. And if your faith is strong, you trust that God is well aware of your working for Him. I have a joke that I do around here when I ask people to do stuff. And let me just say, I'm not asking you to do it for me, so you're not doing me a favor. So some of you think that. Oh, I'm doing the preacher a favor. You're not. I ask on the church's behalf and on the Lord's behalf. But one of the things I say is, look, I'm going to pay you to do that. I'm going to give you some of my rewards in heaven. Right? And I say that because I know for a fact, I know that God's Word promises that when we serve Him, we will be rewarded. And you're not a fool to do things that no one else sees. To sweat, to give away, to bear with others. You're not a fool to do that thinking you will get nothing in return, because you will get more than you ever imagined. That's a promise from God. We need humility also. Humility is not thinking yourself is more important than another person. I would say we struggle with this, don't we? We struggle with humility. Humility is not thinking down about yourself or your abilities. Actually, I think that's a poor character trait to say, oh, I can't do such and such, unless you just can't do it, okay? Then it's smart, it's reasonable, okay? But to just down yourself, I mean, you're downing the gifts that God has given you, that's ridiculous, right? It makes no sense whatsoever to do. We don't want to down the gifts that God has given us. We want to use them. Humility is not elevating yourself above other people. That's what it is. And without humility, it will be very hard to serve other people's needs. To put yourself below them and say, how can I help you? It's very hard to serve when you're looking down at people. And you think that you're a little bit better than they are. This is not how Jesus did things. Love is the engine that compels or propels us to serve. Well, without love, there's no driving force to do that which is inconvenient. And serving, it is inconvenient. You understand that. I don't make, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you serve, you know, it's not going to take anything from you. Yes, it's going to take stuff from you. It's inconvenient to serve. You can learn how much you love by looking at how much you want to serve other people. It is an action that you sacrificially do as you lay down your life for other people. You give up your time, you give up your energy, and you give up your stuff for others. That's serving. So those three qualities are needed to serve: faith, humility, and love. Now here are six principles. Number one, servants are involved in what Jesus is doing. Servants are involved in what Jesus is doing. I get that from John chapter 12, verse 26, where Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Notice what Jesus is saying to his disciples, which also means to you and to me. Make no mistake, every single time Jesus addresses the disciples, he's addressing us more than likely. He's addressing us or teaching us something. And he has this in mind because we know from John 17, he says, I don't pray for them, but also those who will believe through their testimony. That's us. Jesus is saying, where I am, where I'm working, that is where you will find my servants. This is very simple, right? It's very profound also. He's teaching us something very, very important. He says, you need to find where I'm at work and you need to help out. You need to be a part of that. Now, you may say, well, how do I know where to find where Jesus is working? Let me illustrate this for you from personal experience. When I was a youngster, growing up, my dad worked me and my brother hard. We grew up on a farm. We farmed crops, but we mainly farmed cattle and a lot of hay. It was not at all odd for us, you can ask my brother, he's right here, to work 12 to 15 hour days in the dead heat of the summer outside all day long. All right? On nothing but a bowl of cornflakes for breakfast and one sandwich with one piece of meat and one piece of cheese and a fudge round or an oatmeal cream pie and water to drink. Sometimes we got it good, we got lemonade. Right? Those were good days. With a 30-minute lunch, if we weren't eating our lunch while we were working, with greasy hands. I mean, Now, this is my dad, he didn't have a lot of rules for me when I was growing up, because he had big ones. The ones he did have, I better follow. Like, you say yes, sir, you say no, sir. Let me just do a little survey. How many of you in here expect your children, grandchildren, to say yes, sir, or no, sir? Okay. Young people, I just want you to know, because I fight this. It's expected. And when people hear it, they think, that's a respectful young person. They respect their elders, and that's biblical, to respect those that are older than you. When we say no, sir, and yes, sir, it shows respect. Another rule he had is never sit down when work is going on. Even if it was easier to get the job done while seated. When we worked together, he never wanted to have to call my name. He never wanted to have to look for me. And if he did have to call me, I better come running. Right? No, he does not want to wait on me. He said, don't make me have to tell you what to do next, to pick up a hammer or to pick up a shovel or a saw or whatever it may be, or a cow, whatever. I was supposed to be right where he was, where the work was happening. And if I wasn't where the work was, then I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And then I wouldn't know what was going on and how to do it. Now this, I think, at least personally, is very applicable to how we are to serve God. A lot of us wonder what to do when it comes to serving, because we're not around to work. And we are watching other people do the work. We're not in the Word to know what work God wants us to do. So we're not focusing in, and we're not where the things are happening. And so we sit back and we don't do. He's calling our name, just like he called Adam. Adam, where are you? He'd hidden himself. So if you look back at the text, you'll see that the key to serving where Jesus is working, he says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Servants follow their master. And when they follow him daily, they know exactly where and when and how he is working. And to make it better, to make it great, he doesn't just reward you with a single meat sandwich and a fudge round. The Bible says that God will honor you when you serve him. Secondly, our second principle for serving. Servants work hard because they love the name of God. I get this from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 6 through 12, where it says, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice that part. You have shown the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints. It is one thing to serve other people, but there is a way to do it. When we love others by serving them, this is how we also love God. Just because we serve others doesn't mean that we love God. We could serve others for other reasons. When we serve, it is important that our motives matter, the reason behind what we do. And actually, it makes it easier to serve when our focus is where it ought to be. Our serving is to come from a place of loving the name of God. We say, I am a child of Almighty God, washed in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I serve you because I love you, because I love God. This is a great motivation. This is a real substantial motivation deep within us that will drive the reason we do things. If you look at the text, it says, God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints. There's a connection between us serving the saints and how much we love His name. Loving the name of God means that you love Him and you love to do what He loves. And this is what we're called to do. And notice how we're to go about serving the saints. The text says that we're to do it eagerly. An excited fervor to do something. It's like in shopping season, right? Right? How many of you here like when shopping season comes around, you get to go buy gifts, right? We like that. People like to buy gifts for other people. And they also like to buy gifts for themselves. But all the people get lined up waiting for the store to open so that they can get that item that's on sale. They're eager to get in. What would it be like in our church? We'll just throw an example out there, like children's church. Just off the top of my head, just use that one in particular. If we had so many people wanting to do it that there was a line of people waiting to get in to help to do it. Crystal's like, oh, please, Jesus, let this happen. And in a way, really, in many ways, it ought to be that way. That we ought to be, I say this all the time. Not because of me or our staff or anybody here, but people ought to be beating down the doors to get into the church. It's a privilege for them to come to the house of the Lord. If you're here today, God's blessed you to be here. Now, we have to beg people to come to church. We do. But we should never have to. One day, people will be begging. Let me in. Let me in. And the door will be closed. I'm not talking about to the church here, but I'm talking about into the kingdom. We must be mindful. We are to serve earnestly. The church should never have trouble finding people to serve. One of two things is happening if that's the case. You either got lazy people or you're trying to do too much. All right? Now, sometimes what happens is people in the church, they put a lot of pressure on the pastor. They go, oh, pastor, we need this ministry and we need this one and we need this one and we need this one. Why don't we have this and why don't we have that? And I'm like, we don't have people to do it. Right? And some things just aren't, it's not the right timing for. And that's okay. It's all right if that happens. But let's make sure that on our end, we're doing what we're supposed to do. All right? He also says not to be sluggish, meaning slow and apathetic. That's what the word sluggish means. In no hurry whatsoever to get to where God is working and to get to work on the things that He's asked you to do. No concern really to serve the people of God, even though God may have gifted you with abilities. It always grieves me to see all of these unbelievable musicians and singers in the world, many that grew up in church, were taught in church, and they're using their gifts and their abilities to serve themselves only, to build up their kingdom, to build up their name and their brand. And they never speak up for God. It will be a sad day for them when they face God. And I have no problem saying this. Every gifting and ability and possession that you have as an individual has been given to you by God. I want you to understand that. This is important. It's important to know. This is not a guilt trip. This is a reality check. It's a reality check for me as well. God has given us gifts and abilities and things that we would have never gotten if He had not given them to us. And you may say, listen, hold up. I worked hard in high school to get a scholarship, to go to college, and then I worked my tail off two jobs. while I was in college to pay for my college. And then I worked my honey off to get a job at a good place, and I built it up and built it up and built it up. And now this is what I got because of my hard work. And I ask you, where'd you get your brain from? Where'd you get your energy from? God made the earth and all that is in it. The fruits and the vegetables and the meat that you got just so that you can live a day, and the water to drink, God has provided it. With intellect and education, God has given to you. God will not overlook what you have done because of your love for His name. Thirdly, and we will not finish these, so maybe we'll have to finish them next week. Jesus is the great example of servanthood. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." I promise you, you have never humbled yourself like this. Not even close. Matter of fact, it would be impossible for you to condescend to humble yourself as much as Jesus Christ did to become one of us, to serve us, and to die for us. It's impossible for you to get that low. Paul uses Jesus as an example of how we are to serve. That he became a man, not just a man, but a poor man. And a man that would serve others. A man that would give up his life for the very people that were hating him. And Paul encourages the church at Philippi to be just like Jesus. Don't do things for selfish reasons or conceit. How often are we selfish and conceited in what we do? How often do we say, you let me tell you how many times I've heard this, maybe not here, I haven't heard it here. It may happen here, I don't know, but I've heard it from other people in other churches. I'm not going to give my money because I don't like the way that they did this thing. I'm not. Now listen, if you're in an unbiblical church that does not preach the gospel correctly, don't give your money to it, okay? Run as far as you can from that. But most of us are so concerned with our preferences. And you can name them, you know them, I'm not even going to mention them. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I feel like I've probably already done that enough as it is. We're so concerned with our preference, we're like, I'm not going to go help do that because I don't like the way it was done. I don't like who's doing it. I don't like this. Listen, I mean, get over yourself. Get over yourself. You see, I don't mean that mean. I would say that to my children, and people have said that to me. Get over yourself, Avery. And we have to do that sometimes. He says, count others as more significant than yourselves. This is hard. And the reason it's hard is because your parents lied to you. They told you that you were the most important person. You're the most handsome boy. You're the most prettiest girl. You're just the smartest kid on the... Oh, yeah. It's about you, baby. It's all about you, Pearl. All right? This is, some of you got that, some of you didn't. If you didn't, you come talk to me, we'll. Our parents, they say, oh, everything's about us. And so when we come to a scripture like this, it just rubs against us. Count others as more significant than yourselves. The word significant, as it's used in this text, means that they are above you, superior. This is why we need humility. He's not saying downgrade yourself. He's not saying If you're a really, really good baseball player, think others are better baseball players than you. That's not what he's saying. If you're like you're a really talented musician and you say, oh, well, others are better than me. No, they're probably not. He's not saying look down on your giftings. But he's talking about in regards to your personhood. Just because you're really, really good at something doesn't make you better than another person. That's what he's saying. Count others as more significant than yourselves. Don't just look for yourselves. Look after others. Are other people happy? Or are they discouraged? Help them find joy. Do others have what they need? Can I help provide that? Or even, do they have what they want? Most of us in here have more than we want. And we might could provide wants for people. There's nothing wrong with that. How are others doing in their walk with God? Can you help them with it? How are other people's children? Are they doing okay? Concern yourself with them in prayer and in actual support. Now we're going to close today. But I'm just going to list my last three. The fourth was servants shouldn't murmur over serving. Whoo! If I had a wooden nickel, for every time I heard someone grumble about serving, I could build the ark, okay? Like the whole big thing, like the one up in Kentucky that they went and they found, they brought and put it back together. I get that from Philippians chapter 2. Servants shouldn't murmur over serving. The fifth is serving is the key to greatness. And finally, servants consider themselves unworthy. Now I get that from Luke 17, where Jesus says in verse 10, "So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty.'" That's the attitude that we should have in serving. So I encourage you today to respond. Don't act like it's a burden. It's a privilege to serve God. And so I expect you, I'm challenging you, to consider the areas that you could serve in the church and pray over them. There are two extremes that can happen. One, you don't serve enough, or two, you serve too much. Right? Be wary of both of those. I'd rather push towards serving too much than too little, right? Just if I'm speaking honestly, I'd like to know, I may have got a little wore out, but okay. Now think about those. So that's why prayer is so important. You pray and ask God how He wants you to serve. If you today have never followed Jesus, meaning you have never recognized that you're a sinner in need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, if you've never felt the conviction and the weight of your sin, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we turn from our sins, and the Bible says that we are to put our trust in, our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. If you've never done that, you have the opportunity to do that. Jonah and Courtney and Mia are going to come and they're going to lead us in a song of invitation. And it's called, "Lord, I Need You." Right? And it's beautiful because it reminds us of how much we need God for everything. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this day and Your goodness. Lord, on Father's Day, we say to You, Happy Father's Day. For You are truly a good Father, a great Father. And all good things that we have come down from You, the Father of lights. We thank You for what You have done. We pray for Your work here in this church today. In Jesus' name, amen.